Them bones, them skeleton. Dry bones, them skeleton. Dry bones, them skeleton. Dry bones, let's shake them skeleton bones. The toe bones connected to the foot bone. The foot bones connected to the ankle bone. The ankle bones connected to the leg.
Welcome to Point Your Toes, the Adventures of an NYC Dance Teacher.
I'm your co-host, Danielle Colangelo.
And I'm your co-host, Tony Williams II. This podcast is all about the adventures that Danielle and I have as dance teachers and choreographers living here in New York City. We will be sharing our experiences and all the ridiculous and hilarious truths.
However, to keep the identity of the students and companies we worked for safe, we won't be mentioning any by name, and if we do, they will be changed.
That being said, let's get into today's topic, injuries. So I'm sure there are some of you right now who have started their summer intensives or about to start their summer intensives that actually should be at home on the sofa nursing an injury, but aren't.
Yes.
So...
I was just going to say, we wanted to talk about this. We haven't really talked about this yet, and especially
we mentioned
now,
it a little bit last episode.
We've mentioned it a little bit last episode, and now that the school year is over, our competition season is over, people are gearing up and getting ready for summer intensives, but it's also time to listen to your body, and we want to talk about how, what are some common industries and injuries, excuse me, and also what... You need to, how to listen to your body and help your body.
And how to listen to your doctor.
Yes.
So, to start out, let's start with some common injuries.
You have your, so tendonitis is a really common one.
Yes.
Tendonitis usually occurs in your foot or your Achilles.
Shin splints. Which are usually your, it's on your shin. And it's the muscle tearing away from the bone because you are landing incorrectly in your jumps.
Yes.
Athletes can also get this, but it is very common with our beginners in ballet and jazz. Typically not modern so much, but especially our boys, they love for us to jump high. And it's when you're in the beginning stages, you jump so much. And when you jump so much incorrectly, it can cause a lot of problems.
Yeah. You have your common hamstring. So the difference between pulling a hamstring and a hamstring strain, I think, is important to recognize. So pulling a hamstring means you stretch too hard or you did a move that your body's not used to, and you literally, the muscle's literally being pulled. And that creates that muscle to then become sore because it's been overworked.
So shocked. It didn't know that was coming.
But then a strain... anything that you strain, but a hamstring strain, and I have a strained hamstring. A strain is something that doesn't necessarily go away. Once it's been, and it also depends on the degree to which this happens, but once it's been strained badly, it's always strained. And that basically means that the muscle has become elongated, and it will not go back though. It's always going to be that way. So now the muscles and tissues around it have to overcompensate for that because the hamstring is not going to go back to normal.
So straining a muscle, not just in the hamstrings, but it's very common in the hamstrings, simply happens because, and I know younger dancers are very guilty of this, they roll out of bed and they start dancing. Or they get out the car and they start dancing. Or they get to the studio or they get to the space and they immediately start dancing. And that's where that's where it comes from. Your body's not warm. These muscles aren't ready. So if you literally overextend that muscle and it's not ready for it, despite how much you danced yesterday, despite how much you danced 2 hours ago, it's something that you have to learn the hard way if you don't learn it the correct way the first time. And temperatures can play a big part of this because I know I struggled with this a great deal because I learned my dance training happened for the most part in Georgia and Florida, and then I moved to New York City. So literally in Georgia or just Florida, like I remember getting ready to do shows post-college where I could like do a 10-minute stretch and be perfectly fine and felt like I was warm enough to like, you know, at least get through that first show of the day. Then I got to New York where the, you know, winter time or fall, the temperature was so cold that my muscles were like, were not at all warm after 10 minutes, you know? So I had to really take those extra steps to be warm so I don't strain those muscles and create lifelong injuries.
Yeah. I just want to go back to tendonitis for a minute because we didn't say what it was. So tendonitis, it can occur anywhere in any of your tendons, but especially with dancers, it's mostly common in your feet and your ankles. And it's caused by, repetitive action, but it literally is the tendon is irritated. But the thing about tendonitis is the definition is an inflammation or irritation of a tendon. But tendonitis doesn't go away. Yep. Tendonitis is then once it kind of happens, once it's you've repetitively been, hurting this tendon over and over landing wrong is what causes most of it. Mm-hmm. You develop tendonitis and that doesn't go away. And what you end up having is tendonitis flare-ups, where you could be fine one day and the next day it gets inflamed, it gets irritated and inflamed. And it flares up. Mm-hmm. So, just wanted to quickly talk about that for a second. Also, some of our other ones, fluid in your knees are a very common one for ballet dancers, especially. Mm-hmm. I remember growing up, one of my friends in class, we both had knee injuries around the same time, and she ended up having fluid. And the doctor, and I went to the doctor and I told him, one of my friends has fluid in her knees, and the doctor thought maybe that's what I had too, but it wasn't. But fluid is, again, your muscles aren't being, and you can be the most, let me start over for a second. You can be the most technically well-trained dancer, but if your body is just not used to something, you can start to build up fluid at any moment. Any person, not even a dancer or an athlete, any person can build up fluid in any of their joints. So, but I remember she had to get it drained. Like they literally stick a needle in there and drain fluid from her knees.
I remember in high school, I was at a summer intensive and this girl had water on her knee to the point where I was a gross teenage boy. I remember poking her knee and it feeling like a water balloon. And
that's floats around. Yeah.
Like it floating around and literally at first it was funny and we're making jokes, but she was retaining water really bad. So everything started to swell to where we had to call the ambulance and they had to do stuff on the spot to even get her in the ambulance.
Right, because it's so swollen.
She was swelling so quickly that they were it could cause, circulation issues and things like that.
That's what I thought. That's what my first doctor I went to when I injured myself in high school thought it was as well, because my knee, my knee had swollen so badly that it hurt to put any pressure on it, that they thought it was a fluid buildup and it wasn't. And what it actually was I have a dislocated patella in my right leg. And again, this is very common in ballet dancers, dislocated patellas. I knew a girl, I grew up with a girl, she went to SAB, the School of American Ballet, when we were growing up. And she unfortunately blew out both of her knees. She blew out both of her patellas by the time we were 16 and she had to stop dancing. Yeah, and I don't know if that could have been mistreatment. That could, and we'll get to that in a minute. That was probably mistreatment. That was probably not taking time off.
Of course.
But
other common injuries. This one I have found comes from those that don't start studio training or don't start with training. They just kind of learn on their own and then continue to dance and eventually take classes, is a torn or sprained hip flexor.
Yeah.
Oof. So everybody loves to do a cute old split. Half split or a whole or a full split. However, that's one of those things where those muscles, you start doing them when you're young and your muscles have not solidified yet. So let's be very clear. The reason why not good studios can get away with pushing and contorting children into...
is because their body can do it.
Their muscles have not hardened.
Yes.
You can take any anatomy class, it will tell you that your muscles don't solidify in their place for well until our teen and late.
Well, that's why anyone, literally anyone you meet will be like, I was so flexible as a kid. Even non-dancers, non-athletes, they'll be like, I used to be able to do this as a kid, blah, 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 blah. And then they're like, now I can't do it anymore. And I'm like, it's because your muscles were so...
malleable. That's why a child can literally break an arm and then be healed a month later, because their bodies are so malleable. However, the older you get, those muscles solidify and those bones and those muscles aren't as malleable. And it's very, like I said, I've seen it so many times where a kid goes, I can do a split, and they drop down to a split and they immediately grab their hips. And that's because they've torn that hip flexor or they've over-rotated that hip flexor.
Yeah.
Trying to do a split. I've just seen it in tons of after school
programs. And it can happen, yeah. It can happen a lot too in studios that when you're doing any type of exercise in turnout when you're not trained, and they say, you know, because you're supposed to turn out from your inner thighs and your hips, but people will be like, turn out, and they'll push your feet, and what it ends up doing is over, and it ends up over rotating your hips.
And so the trick I've learned with this, for the ones that are like, I am not a ballet person, I know nothing about turnout. Think of putting on like a giant sock, like a giant knee-high sock or knee upper thigh sock or a giant, you know, like tights or whatever. And then you start to rotate the tight at the top. And you see how it kind of spirals down the body? That is what you're doing to your muscles if you are not turned out correctly. You are literally causing them to spiral down the leg. And the problem is that the muscles are connected at several different points. So you can tear from the hip flexor, the knees, the ankles. Like, it can create a lot of, and these are like, like she said, her friend blew out her knees at 16. Yeah. She may never dance again, but I know some dancers that have trouble walking.
Yeah.
Because of how severely they let their muscles get torn when they were younger.
When they were younger and they didn't know. Other common ones I just want to throw out there super quick. Dislocated shoulders.
Yes.
I actually remember being in a summer intensive. I've
gotten so close to having my shoulder dislocated.
I haven't, but I remember being in a summer intensive and we were in a ballet class. And we were doing, you know, we were doing pliés from second, so our arms were in second, and this girl's shoulder popped out. We were in second, her shoulder popped out. She couldn't lower her arm. Yep. She couldn't lift her arm. Yep. And somebody had to help her hold up her arm while the teacher went and got the nurse from, like, the nurse's station. I remember that. I also saw it in college, too. In college, I saw a couple. I realized in college I saw it happen to a couple of people, specifically during modern, because you're doing a lot of kind of rolling on the floor with your body.
That was the other one.
Moving your shoulders. Yeah.
In high school, it was lifts, like trying to lift and not knowing how to properly lift or hold a partner. Like, there were several times I'm like, I felt sore, and then I go, oh, had I done like a little bit more, it would have been completely popped out of place. Mm-hmm. And then the other one, like, for me, is like learning floor work, which is like my go-to.
Yeah.
In college, like, I would see
when your body is not used to it at first.
Over the neck or over the shoulder rolls and things like that. As you're learning it, if you're not careful. And luckily, we just had a good teacher that she would literally be like, if you do that, you're going to break something.
Right. But sometimes, like, you just do it in your body. It takes 2 seconds for your body to just freak.
Nope.
Yeah.
Another common injury, which typically happens in our gymnastic girls, our aerials, is strained or broken wrist.
Yeah.
Or busted capillaries in your hands. Busted blood vessels in your hands.
I do that to my knees. My thighs.
Yeah, it can happen all over, but I know. So tutting or hand tutting, which is common in hip hop, or bone breaking, which you're not literally breaking your bone, but it's a style of hip hop dance where you're twisting and exerting your muscles in ways that are not common. And so the blood vessels and things like that can get very strained or just flat out bust. And they end up looking like bruises, but they're very tender.
Yeah.
Those can either never go away or take a very long time.
They take a while to go away. I popped a lot of capillaries, a lot of blood vessels when I was doing a show in high school. And we did one of the numbers had a lot of hand stuff. And it was a lot of padding on your thighs. I went to go in the shower one day, and I was like, I like freaked out. I called my mom into the bathroom because I didn't know what was wrong because I had these massive black and blues that were from my knee to my hip, and I had no idea where it came from. And they heal and they're fine. That's not a big deal. It's scary.
But it will
see
freak
it.
You out when you literally. I've been there because I have one. I was doing a step routine, and so, like, it's all your hands. So, like, my hands, like, first they were, like, super red. Yeah. And then they were, like, super black. And I was like, what? Overdramatic child. I was like, I went to my dad's, I think I'm dying. And he goes, what? And I show him my hand that's, like, turning purple. He goes, what did you do? It's like, nothing. I just came from step practice. So, it's definitely one of those things of, like, you've got to, it just happens. Again, these are just very common injuries that happen.
plantar fasciitis, which usually occurs when you don't land correctly from jumping. You're not landing with your whole foot. In college, I realized something that was super common. It happened to myself. It happened to a bunch of other of my peers in college. And again, I think this had a lot to do. This is more common in modern because you're doing a little more rolling around, more contractions, stuff like that. Back spasms. Muscle spasms, specifically back spasms. I remember one day, one girl got it so bad that she couldn't move and had to be carried out. I developed them in college. Mine weren't terrible, but I remember I had to take 2 weeks off, right? I could watch, I could observe, but I wasn't allowed to dance.
I still have them because of the injury, which we're going to talk about it in a second, but because of an injury I sustained, I have, like, crazy back spasms.
Oh, yeah. Mine come and go. I mean, like, I don't have to be on...
yesterday morning, back massager on my back because I had one happen, and I had...
Right. That's a thing. That's the other thing. Just how tendonitis come, you have flare-ups. Back spasms, you get a flare. Like, I do, too. Like, once in a while, my back will just spaz, and I get a flare-up, and it really hurts.
And it can be nothing. Nothing at all whatsoever.
Yeah.
It can be absolutely nothing, and that will cause that to happen.
Let's move on. Let's talk about our injuries.
Okay. So, yeah, I can talk about how I hurt my back.
Yes.
So, I have...
And then talk about also, let's tell everyone, what did you do? What did you have to do to treat it? Or what could you have done better? Let's talk about that as well.
Yes. So, I've had two major injuries in my life. And knock on wood that I've only had two.
Mm-hmm.
My first one was in high school at a summer intensive. And I was doing a partner lift, where the female, my partner, was behind me. We chasse together. I pull my arm straight up, and she goes into a second leap.
Mm-hmm.
And then she come down, and we chasse off stage. The thing that I learned from this is that it's really on the partner in the back to not rotate their hips, to stay perfectly aligned. Sade did not stay aligned, so her hips rotated so far forward that she more or less went into a contraction.
Mm-hmm.
And we were, so when she shot, while she's in a second leap, I'm just in, like, a low jeté off the ground. Like, I'm barely off the ground. But I'm in, like, an inch off the ground, maybe?
Yeah.
But because she over-rotated her hips into a full contraction, she pulled us both back. So Sade landed flat on her back into the ballet. She landed on her head and ballet bun pins in her head. I heard her hit first. I did, like, a dead man's fall onto my back. And I jumped up with my, like, I jumped up and turned around and go and reached my arms out to her to try to be like, are you okay? And then she said, yeah, but the pins are in my head. So they immediately rushed her because she's starting to bleed and it's a head wound. Mm-hmm. So, of course, it's overly bleeding. Halfway through all of this, I go, guys, I can't lower my arms. I fell completely on my,
trap?
Yep, yeah, on both my traps.
Trapezius,
yeah. So, like, they both locked into place and my muscles were not moving.
Yeah, it's crazy how, like, with spasms and dislocations, you literally then, like, you're done. You can't move.
Like, I was like Frankenstein's monster. Yeah. My arms would not move. And so we tended to, like, she was okay before I was, just because once they got the pins out of her head, like, they were able to, you know, patch in and kind of stop the bleeding. They had to call the ambulance for me to, like, take me over to, like, our, like, nurses and doctors.
Yeah, because the muscle won't relax. Because
they had to give me, I had to get four shots to an each shoulder
for
the muscles to even... release, like, lower my arms, and then once my arms were lower, the muscles started locking in again. So, like, it took 3 weeks for me to even get to the point where they would let me go back to dance class, because I was just sleeping. Like, I was out, like, heavily medicated to let those muscles relax. And while I did get through the rest of the intensive and I did dance and I still was able to do one lift, which we were very careful about, the nursing that I should have done at the time is that I should have stopped. Like, I should have, like, taken the rest of the summer off from dance to let those muscles heal. And I also should have just been more aware of how my own body responds to locking up and seizing and, like, holding my shoulders and holding my back.
Mm-hmm.
Because that, like, to this, like I said, yesterday I had flare-ups. So that injury stays with me to where I'll be walking or I'll, like, turn. And every now and then it just kind of, like, someone, like, squeezing your back. That's literally, it's like squeeze. I'm like, oh. Am I doing too? And, like, after, like, training and going to college, and, like, I go, am I doing something wrong? Or was this just a random flare-up? And I go, oh, no, just a random flare-up.
Yeah.
And my last stupid, crazy injury is my left ankle. I was doing a show where we were jumping popcorn, my children's theater, and I rolled my ankle on a step. So I came down on my right foot and my left ankle, and I completely tore all the muscles off of the bone. Mm. So literally, like, and at first I was like, fine, but like it just continued to hurt worse and worse the more I tried to use it. And so took me to the doctor, and like they scanned it because at first they thought it was a broken bone. And I was like, and then it started to hurt worse. And I was like, and when they came back and said it wasn't a broken bone, I was like, then why is it hurting this bad? He goes, oh, because there's no muscle attached to that bone. So that muscle and all those nerves are just kind of flailing around in your ankle.
Jesus.
I said, so that, I was like, so I'm not being crazy when I feel like how much pain I'm in. He goes, no, because those nerve endings are literally just loose in your ankle.
Ugh.
So like they literally set me in, put me in a cast. And again, no broken bone. I'm in a cast. I'm in a brace. Like, everything lined up so that foot cannot move.
Yeah.
And my ankle cannot move. And then I had to do physical therapy. Mm-hmm. And, like, the big lesson from that, same thing again. I was young, and I was working. That was my internship with a new theater company, and I wanted things to go well.
Right.
So I kept doing, I finished the end of that tour, and then, like, a week later went into rehearsals for an in-house show. I should have never done that.
Yeah.
Like, hindsight is always 20/20, as usual.
Right.
But it's just one of those things of, like, I should have given my time. I have no, luckily now I have no ankle injuries. I have no flare-ups off of that ankle. But it took me, it took years for there to stop being flare-ups on that ankle when it could have been months.
Yeah.
Just because I was, like, push through to the end of your contract. So that was, like, literally almost 6 months of more pressure on that ankle than I needed to.
Yeah. I had, I've had a couple of, like, minor ones, but my big one was when I was 15, I was at an audition for the Joffrey Ballet, actually, and I will never forget, I was on point, and I will never forget exactly what I was doing. I will never forget, and I was on one foot, and we were doing these kind of, like, I was in, like, second arabesque, and we were going, like, plie and up and plie and up, and the room was super crowded, and I guess what had happened, and I say I guess because I didn't see it and it didn't hurt. I guess what had happened was when I went into plie in turnout, I went up and rotated my knee parallel and it snapped. But here's what happened. I will never forget. I heard something snap. Nothing hurt. I came down fine. Nothing hurt. Nothing looked weird. I remember I told my dad after the audition, I heard something snap. I don't think something's right. He goes, does anything hurt? Does anything look weird? I said, no. He goes, okay, well, I guess we'll see. I wake up 2 weeks later to get ready for school, and I can't put any pressure on my right leg because my knee has swollen to the size of a little balloon. And so, of course, we, like, go through all the go through the pediatrician. All these doctors have no idea what's going on. And finally ended up at a orthopedic surgeon, and he right away knew what was wrong. He did a lot of sports medicine. You know that I dislocated my patella. And and because I was so young, it was a massive injury because I had just in the time of dislocating my patella, I had crushed the growth plate because you have two growth plates that live underneath your kneecaps. So I crushed the growth plate and strained my middle back hamstring, which is permanently strained. So what happened was, you know, we got all this done. I ended up having to wear this massive stabilizing brace because they wouldn't do surgery because surgery is not guaranteed, and I also wasn't done growing.
You're also so young, right?
So they wouldn't do surgery because it was only a 60% success rate. So he's like, I'm not doing surgery. So I was wearing this massive stabilizing knee brace. I had to, this was in the winter of my freshman year of high school, and I had to stop dancing and I had to start going to physical therapy, and I was going to physical therapy 3 times a week. And when I ended up getting into Joffrey for the summer, for their summer program, and I was like, well, I have to go. And so we spoke with the doctor, and he was like, all right, I'm gonna let you go. And he actually taught me how to tape my knee into place with sports tape. So I would have to tape it into place and then wrap it with an ACE bandage. And I would have to, you know, I was on, like, a lot of Advil for a while.
Oh, I've done so many dance shows, or just shows in general, doped up.
Yeah.
Because I need to get through.
Yeah. So, I ended up, you know, I ended up doing the summer, and I would tape it, and it would hurt. It would flare up. But then after the summer was over, we get back and we talked to my studio owner, and she was just like, I can't let you dance this year.
Yep.
So she was like, I'll allow you to take one jazz class, but she was like, no tap, no ballet, no point. And I took one jazz class once a week, and I was still in physical therapy 2 to 3 times a week for my entire sophomore year. And even, you know, and as time went on, you know, the tissues and the cartilage, the scar tissue build up around it to cushion it, so it doesn't hurt as much. But when I went to college, I used to, for a while, would have to tape my knee every single day because I was dancing so much. I re-injured it in college.
Yep.
Now I'll go take class. I don't need to tape it. I don't need to tape it to teach because there's so much scar tissue and cartilage buildup that compresses it now. But I do get flare-ups. And I'll get random flare-ups, like with weather change. Like, so right now it's like...
See, that's the thing. I always get how old people feel that because I feel it in my ankle and my
back. So bad. Right now it's like stupid hot and humid in New York. It's so muggy. It's so humid. Yep. And my knee, when it gets really cold and when it gets really hot and humid, it flares up. It swells and it feels heavy. It feels like there is a weight in my knee. It feels heavy and it's physically swollen.
It's the moisture.
Yeah. So that's my biggest one. And because of that, I had re-injured it in college. Just dancing so much. There's nothing I could do in college. It was just from dancing so much that I re-injured it. I tore a meniscus in it, you know, because I had re-injured it. But that was my biggest one. And, you know, it does stay with me, you know. I do have to put Icy Hot on. I do have to stretch.
And that's the thing that, two big things for me from both our crazy stories. The first thing, if you hear something snap, go to the doctor.
Yes.
Pain is not always the first sign of trouble. A snap or a pop is. Because, like I said, same thing happened with me. I didn't feel pain at first, because I had severed all the pain nerve endings.
Right.
They were not attached. It was only as I started to try to move around more that my body couldn't find. My body was sending signals and nothing was happening. And that's when the rest of my body started sending pain as a response to that.
Right.
So if you hear a snap or a pop,
go. Also, there's different types of pain. So whenever you get I remember learning this in high school and it was so important. Whenever you get a sharp shooting pain, that is a clear indication that something is wrong and that you need to go see a doctor or a specialist or even just talk to your dance teacher because they might know what it is.
And 9 times out of 10, if they're anything like I know me and Danielle are, I'll probably tell you what it is and then I will tell you to go to a doctor to follow up on it.
Yes, and I will tell you, I'll be like, okay, I think this is what it is. So today we're going to do this. And I'm going to talk to your parents after.
And I've even gone, because I literally had a kid, roll their ankle we were teaching, I don't think they rolled, I think he actually strained it a little bit. We were doing tap class, we were doing wings, which are my least favorite tap move ever. We were doing wings, and so it was a hard class learning wings for them. We were doing double and single wings.
Yeah.
So, it was a lot of stress on their ankles, and one of the boys, he was like, you probably just pulled it or strained it from learning wings. Go see a doctor. I let him know that this is what you did. I said, odds are he's probably going to tell you just ice it, take it easy. I said, but this is, and so when mom and dad came in, I told them the same thing there. I was like, oh, well, can he go see his normal doctor? We're like, yes. She's like, oh, well, we had a checkup next week. I'll just move it to this week.
Yeah.
Doctor said the same thing. It was just, he was overworking it.
And
it was
a little talk to your dance teachers and your choreographers because hopefully they are well-versed in anatomy and they did go to college and they were not even went to college, but especially if they went to college.
There's no reason
you should have been mandated to take anatomy and kinesiology classes, so you should know what all of this is. But those are, so any sharp shooting pain, if it's kind of dull and achy, you're probably more sore and you can feel it out. Now, if that dull, achy pain doesn't seem to get better at all and it goes on for more than a week, then you should maybe get it looked at.
And even with sore, I always use the 48-hour rule.
Yes.
If it has not gotten better or worse in 48 hours, it is probably not sore.
Yes.
It's probably something else. Especially if it's gotten worse within a span of 40 hours. Because most sore
takes about 24 hours to be sore.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you'll go take a class. Even if you go to the gym or take any type of athletic class or do anything athletic and then you know, the next morning you wake up and you're like, oh my God, I can't move. That's sore. That's your body not being used to what you've done.
And so an old school, again, an old school trick that everyone dancer I know uses for soreness is Epsom salt baths.
Oh, yes.
And Epsom salt, you can find at your local drugstore. Anywhere.
CVS, Walgreens, like, all of them have Walmart, anything. Target.
Because I usually just go to like Target or Walmart and get like a giant
box.
Yeah,
like a big bag or box, yeah.
And you dump it in your bathtub, you let it soak, and it will often take the soreness because it helps pull some of the acid that's on your muscles out.
Yeah.
For your pores and things like that. So like it helps with the soreness. So for me, typically, I recommend that to all new dancers or anyone that's been dancing, take your Epsom salt bath. If you're still feeling that pain after the Epsom salt bath, it's probably not soreness.
Yes.
Because those usually cut down tremendously on the soreness.
If you put Icy Hot on something or Tiger Balm and then the next day it's still hurting, again, probably a sign that it's not just sore.
And so another big thing, so we're talking about going to see a doctor. So the thing that you need to, for our parents, even for our young dancers, maybe you need to have this conversation with mom and dad or play this part for them. When you are doing any type of activity heavily, you need to have regular doctor's visits. Mm-hmm. A lot of time, old school thinking, dance isn't really a sport. We are just as physical as any athlete.
Sometimes more so.
Yes. And so, well, especially different types of muscle groups.
Yes.
Than other athletes. So I know I was very lucky that my parents, when I came to them with dance injuries, they were treated just as seriously as sports injuries for my sister and brother. You need to have a regular doctor that you can go to and ask these questions to of, this is hurting. Or because I knew that learning jumps at the same time that I was going through growing pains was an issue that we had to discuss with my doctor because I grew 3 inches in 1 year,
yeah.
Which is very painful. But also I was thinking that my sore knees and joints were from
pains.
Jumping. Well, I thought they were from jumping.
Okay.
And my doctor was like, that sounds like growing pains because you're already a half inch taller than I saw you like a month ago.
Yeah, shin splints are a very common sign of growing pains as well. Just be, again, though, if you're dancing or doing any type of sport and you notice that shin splints are common, go see a doctor because it could be growing pain shin splints or it could be you not landing appropriately.
Yes.
And you need to figure out what's wrong.
Secondly, so now we are saying go to doctors. An orthopedic doctor will often be your best friend.
I'm like looking at Tony funny because I'm like, my knee actually hurts today. Like it is so humid and muggy out and it's just like, it's achy today.
It's my back. That was literally my back. I think that's why it spasmed yesterday. Being like, oh, you're going to get rain soon. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But why is it an orthopedic surgeon I don't see orthopedic. I see a joint and bone doctor.
Joint and bone doctors, orthopedics are great. Sports medicine.
My Broadway friends do sports medicine.
Yeah, you need to see those because, like, when I was first injured, you know, my parents didn't know. Like, I was the oldest. Yeah, they took me to the pediatrician. The pediatrician was like, you know, the pediatrician did an X-ray. They did a blood test. They were like, I don't know why she's in so much pain and it's swelling and it won't go down. And it wasn't until somebody else was like, go see an orthopedic surgeon that, you know, literally the guy looked at, I remember the doctor looked at me, he said, walk to the door and back. And he goes, this is what's wrong with you.
Yes, it's always that.
He knew exactly. He was like, tell me about you. What did you do? How do you think this happened? Okay, walk for me. Yep, this is what happened.
That was always me. Hold your arms up above your head. Oh, yeah, I know what happened. So you probably sprained or pulled.
Right. So spending that little extra money and making sure you see joint and bone, orthopedic, sports medicine, any of those are very important because that's what they're trained to do. They're trained in these types of injuries, in these types of people, these types of careers. A pediatrician, especially for kids, a pediatrician's not trained in that.
And that's the thing about, no discredit to, you know, your
general
practice
doctors.
No, it's
just what you're trained in.
Exactly. But I know that from another podcast that I listen to.
You wouldn't go see your general, like, so I wouldn't see my general physician for a reproductive issue. I would go to an OBGYN.
Exactly.
It's the same exact
thing. And it's really, because, again, every general doctor that I've gone to, they always ask me, well, how's your dance stuff going? Because I would see a different doctor for those kind of complicated, you know, for like my joint and my back stuff. Like I would see a different doctor and they would always be like, how is that going? Is there anything that I, you know, I need to know? Do I need to, you know, pull those records for you? And then I would be going in for my normal physicals with my normal doctor. Right. And he would, you know, check like, you're having any asthma issues or anything, you know, like they all stayed in touch, but like, it's a completely different doctor to know what to look for, joint injuries, you know, or specific things like that. Like the story I told last time with one of my students, until she went to, you know, like a hip and joint, a bone and joint doctor, he didn't catch the fact that it was a torn meniscus.
Yeah. That's also the other thing.
Because that's also a runner's disease or old people disease. These are things that don't happen to young bodies. Old people.
Like I, because of my knee injury, because I had crushed the growth plate in my knee when
I young doctor, when no I did doctor this. For children is going to know
but
what to
because,
do
But because I did that, I actually developed osteoarthritis at 15 years old. And I remember, I would tell people and they were like, no, you can't get that till you're old. Young. You're too young. You can't get that. And I'd have to like explain to them like, no, I literally crushed my growth plate. And they were like, I don't under, like, so it's, but especially for children when your bodies are still growing and things are still changing and developing, it's extremely important if a child, if anyone under the age of 25, you don't really stop growing until you're 25.
Really, 25.
25.
But if roughly, if you want to push a younger number, I would say 17.
Yes, 17, 18. You need to see a specialist right away.
Yes.
Because your body is just still moving and changing.
And it's growing and codifying. And again, those muscles are hardening. So I know a friend of mine, Katrina, she was at a very not good studio when she was younger. And they were fans of pushing dancers down into splits and into straddles. And we ended up dancing together in college. And she, fabulous dancer now, but she said, she goes, oh, I have no control over, like, holding her leg in arabesque or passe or ascone. Because she's like, those muscles in my hips are completely torn.
Yeah.
And I was like, why did you never go fix it? She's like, by the time we caught on that, like, I was in serious pain and something was wrong, my body had accommodated to it and healed wrong. So the doctor was like, we can stop the pain, but like your body is now healed. Where
right. It's those not
muscles
gonna...
are never, you're never going to have the muscle control it's the to same... hold it very long.
It's like, this is kind of like a silly example, but it's the reason why ballerinas walk turned out. They're not doing it on purpose. It's because your entire life, you've been conditioning your bones and your muscles to flare out. To rotate outwards.
Yes.
So you will always now stand and walk with a turnout to some degree because that's how your body's been conditioned.
I know.
I do it.
I know some 70. I'm not too bad because I started jazz first, but there are certain days, like I know after I get done teaching ballet or taking anything where I'm using the ballet positions, where it stays in my body a little longer.
Yeah.
Or even when like I get nervous or uncomfortable, I'll start standing in first position. I realized that in college, when I would get like super nervous, they would, literally my voice teacher for music theater, he's like, you must be really nervous. And I was like, no, I'm fine. He's like, Tony, you're standing in first position.
That's so
or like one point, he's like, you're standing in fifth position. That cannot be comfortable. And I was like, actually, it really kind of is. But
yeah.
So it's,
but it's the same. It's a thing. Your body is going to, it's going to try to help heal itself. It's the reason why I don't tape my knee when I go take class or rehearsals or teach or anything anymore because I'll tape it once in a while. I will say once in a while if it's really, really bad, I will tape my knee still. Like this, I remember like, you know, this happened a lot when I was like teaching over the summer. Sometimes teaching a lot of tap, I'd have to tape my knee. But because I did it so young, I have all this, like, I would love to see an MRI of my knee because I just have a shit ton of overgrowth. I have overgrowth of, like, scar tissue and cartilage, and it's, like, but it's my body trying to help itself the way that it can.
And that's kind of how I feel about my back. Like, I would love to see how those muscles are laying because they're, like, I probably, depending on how heavy my teaching schedule is or how crazy the weather is living in New York City, the spasms happen, and I just feel my back being tight. So, like, there have been times where I've gone to teach port-a-bras and carriage of the arms and ballet where I can't. Or I get ready to do certain lifts and stuff like that, and I'm just like, I feel so tired after doing, like, once or twice. And I was like, maybe these muscles are just not into it today, or I'm not warm enough for it, and things like that. So now that we've talked about, like, all of the crazy injuries and soreness and pain and things like that, I want to talk about how to prevent them. Prevent injuries, that is. So, like, some of this is, and we've repeated this 100 times and I'll say it again, just listen to your teacher. More often than not, I'm finding that dance studio owners have gone to college, your choreographers have gone, like, the people that are teaching you dance have either been doing it for enough years where they've earned the experience and the knowledge to know how to prevent these injuries, or if they don't, they'll send you to someone that does.
Yes.
And especially, like, the bigger studios. There was one big studio out in, like, Wisconsin where she's like, oh, this is the doctor I always send my kids to. And he's, you know, like, we have a good working relationship with him. So, like, that, he's going to know all the crazy dance injuries. Like, I've been working with him 25 years.
Like we just said, like, a lot of, nowadays, a lot of dance teachers and choreographers, like, they do come from a background where you have been trained to some degree in the you know, medicinal side of dance, in the injury side, in the prevention, and, you know, kinesiology and anatomy. So they'll know, like, please don't do this because this is going to happen. And they'll tell you how to prevent it, or if some, you know, if you pull something, they'll, you know, tell you how to fix it.
Or going to, so a friend of mine, who actually wants to be a guest on the show, I need to catch up with her. She's really big on, she's an NYU professor and been dancing for years and whatnot, but she loves going to her doctor being like, so this is wrong. I need you to prescribe something to fix these.
I know. I'm so bad. I honestly do that too. When I go to the regular doctor and I'm like, this is what I did. They're like, and I'm like, no, this is what I did. Yep. I'll even do it with like non like muscle stuff, like non dance stuff. I'll go and I'll be like, so I have this problem. And they're like, well, let's like do a test and just double check. I'm like, yeah, of course let's do the test. But I'm telling you right now, like, this is what it is. Mm-hmm. Doctors hate me. It's fine.
But again, and I had one doctor, he was like, I'd much rather you do that. He's like, you knowing your body is also half the battle. And that's my other big thing is that, like, listen to your body. And I know that's hard for younger dancers, and I know for parents that's hard to listen to your younger dancers.
Yeah.
When they go, this hurts. Oh, you're just a kid, you'll be fine. Trust me, as someone that has had to be rushed to the hospital myself and having to rush to the hospital with my students.
If the child says it hurts, it's an indication of, because kids will push themselves. They won't say it hurts. Oh, they'll just go ahead and push themselves without saying anything. Yes. So the second a child especially is like, this hurts, you need to have them sit down and tell you what's wrong. And it's, preventing injuries is hard in a way because a lot of it is like, you have to go to a good studio. You have to have good teachers. Mm-hmm. Because if you're having good teachers who are telling you how to do things technically correct and safely, then that's how you're preventing the injuries.
And it's also one of those things of you have to get into a routine of self-help.
Yeah.
Like, so the big thing is immediately come home and shower. Don't stay gross and sweaty. You know, immediately get to a temperature change. So, like, after you're done showering, or, you know, or you're done working out, cool down, shower. Once you're into a cooler temperature, if something's still hurting you, that's enough. You know, going from a hot studio sweating out to, you know, cooling down, your muscles are already going to slightly tighten up. So if there's something wrong, they're going to really tighten up. So that's another sign of it. Regular Epsom salt baths, regular massages, regular use of Icy Hot, Tire Bomb, heating pad. That's one that I need to buy a new one because mine broke.
Yeah, heating pads are great. Yeah, especially if you can afford even just a regular massage, like, especially as you get older. Like, in college, I remember we would have a lot of massages.
So my college would do this, a massage school near us.
That's a weekend.
During finals week, or, like, if we could convince them during dance concert time, they would do, like, 10 minutes, because, like, they have to do, like, practice hours for the massage students. And we're literally, like, I will literally give you $10 for 20 minutes. Well, and they're like, I need, like, 30-something hours. I was like, you can make money off of the dancers.
Well, that's just what set up a chair. We wouldn't even have to pay. They would, I remember the Boulder School of Massage, they would come do their practice hours, and it would happen.
We would, because they'd, like, treat us really good.
It would happen, like, 3 times a semester, and you would sign up for, like, a 45-minute slot.
Nice.
And it was free, and it was 3 times a semester. And even just having that massage 3 times a semester, so 6 times a school year, really helps to just rejuvenate those muscles. Like, I know right now, I always have tight shoulders. I've always struggled with my shoulders being tight and rolling forward a bit. It's just how I'm built. I can tell right now my back and my traps are super tight. I know this week I have to go get a massage because I can't go to a dance class and with this tight of shoulders and backs. It's going to end up causing an injury. I actually need to go get a massage first to loosen those muscles and relax those muscles.
Yeah, so it is. It, so again, I definitely, and especially for like those college or young dancers, or you know, young professionals, like as you're starting out, that's a part of being a dancer. You know, like right along with having a gym membership is regular massages.
Yeah,
and you may think that that's a luxury item, and to some extent it is. And if you can, you know, maybe some weeks you can't avoid it and cut it out, but generally speaking, like it plays a major part. I haven't done this, but I kind of want to. But I know some people are a fan of doing acupuncture as well to help with pain and adjusting of muscles and things like that. So that's something that you could possibly look into. Regular check-ins. I'm never one to miss a doctor's appointment. If I have to go in or if something's starting too long, I will easily... Hi, doctor. What's up? This is what happened. And, you know, I will go see my doctor 3 times in 1 week and drive them crazy versus I'm in the hospital because of an injury.
Yes. No, that's super smart.
It's just, it's again, they're just all small preventative things that you do. Another big thing, don't dance on concrete.
Oh, yes.
And I say that because the hip-hop world loves to do it. Programs that are short on money, very love to do it.
Some studios and some theaters and places will layer wood or Marley on top of concrete, and that doesn't make it any better. Especially a lot of places will layer wood on top of concrete, and that's hard because it's not wood, it's concrete. What you really should be dancing on is sprung wood floor, which we've talked about, which is what basketball games are played on.
Yes.
What gyms are, with those gyms, those professional gyms, those floors are sprung. Yes. Because just like dancers, basketball players are there doing a lot joints of jumping, they're doing injuries, a lot of running. They're like, they are, you know, it's the same type of stuff.
Like, that's how mine and my dad, because mine from a family of basketball players. So when I started having the same injuries from my dad and my sister and them playing basketball, that's when they knew that it was just as serious. Because literally, it's, and again, you should be on springed wood. And if you can't be on that, that's when you certainly have to take care of your ankles and your knees. Because those injuries, like I said, constant standing on concrete for an extended period can cause joint problems. Mm-hmm. Let alone dancing and jumping. Like, the first time I learned torques, I was on a concrete floor. You know, so I'm like jumping almost a foot in the air and rotating and then landing on concrete. Again, that's why I think that played into me having shin splints when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
So you definitely just... And my B-boys and B-girls, just hip-hop happens everywhere, and I understand it, I get it. But please be mindful of your bodies when you're dancing on concrete for so long. Or even, like, I've worked with low-end after-school programs where they won't have anything on the floor. And I'm like, even if you can just put a carpet or something over that concrete to help cushion the force from it hitting their knees and their joints so bad, it's anything you can. So just be mindful of that. And again, do your research.
Yes.
You know, on different kinds of floors. If, you know, or you know you can't get rid of that concrete base, what can you put on top of it instead of just layering on a wooden floor? You know, those are just small preventative things that can really help. Always keep an ACE bandage. Always keep whatever aspirin or anti-inflammatory. I use ibuprofen, Advil, Excedrin, whatever you decide to use. Always keep that on handy, my young professionals. I'm trying to think, what else do I keep in my dance bag? Just kind of on the go.
I keep
an ankle brace.
I keep Tiger Balm. Yeah, I keep an ACE bandage and some tape in case it flares up.
My heating pad before it broke.
Yeah, so those things to always, if you're dancing a lot, just keep them in your dance bag with you, because if something flares up in between classes or you pull something or something's just sore after class, immediately you can help to treat it.
And to keep warm. So the heating pad thing, I was doing a show where literally like a friend of mine had hers out. And I was like, oh my God, can I use it? And I just like sat on it to keep my legs loose because we were doing so many jumps.
Yeah.
And I just like, and we were, it wasn't our time to be on stage, but I was like, oh my God, this is nice to kind of keep my legs like
right, so the muscles going, don't tighten up and get cold. Exactly.
So just definitely be mindful of that.
Yeah.
So this week for I'm Sorry What? It is the personal I'm sorry for last week. So
yes.
I was very, very sick. I got through the end of my school year and my body completely shut down on me. I woke up 2 times last week and did not have a voice. Daniel actually messaged me about recording and I was like, yeah, I don't have a voice. Like, luckily we were texting. I was like, I didn't have a voice to talk, because of the random. New York has been like pretty decent spring weather. Then we hit summer. So everything kind of bloomed overnight and my body caught all of it at once.
Yeah.
So there was no, I couldn't talk. So there was no show.
No. And I had an unexpected trip away. So at the last minute, I chose to do a surprise trip home and I was away. And so between Tony being sick and me being away, we just thought, you know what? Maybe our bodies and our minds need a little break. I want to hope everyone else took a nice, restful break as well.
Yes, we will be back. And if we do have any crazy more compilations, we will try our best to put something out, even if it's shorter than our normal episodes. But this week is going to run long, so you'll be fine.
Yes.
So, moving right along from I'm Sorry, What, which belongs to both me and Danielle this week. Shout-outs. So, you want to shout something out?
Sure. So, I'm going to actually shout out. I'm going to do a little plug and shout out another director choreographer. I am going to head to upstate New York in a couple weeks to work with Anne Cooley, who used to be a Rockette, and now she's a director and choreographer, not only here in New York City, but overseas as well. And she's been working with an international program in China, in Shanghai.
Nice.
So she's bringing some of her students over, and I'm going to be assisting her in some classes and putting on a showcase, a demonstration. So I'm super excited to work with her, to get to meet her and work with her and gain all her knowledge. So that's my little shout out. And as I get into working with her, and we can, you know, I'll let you know how everything goes and post some videos and stuff.
Nice. My shout out goes to Cynthia Sigler, who was a dance teacher of mine when I was younger. She has this big summer alumni program. So every Saturday during the summer months, she does an alumni class, so she can always see her former dancers and like we talk and catch up and things that they have done. And this is my first summer being able to go back since graduating high school.
Yay.
In 2007. So because normally I'm always crazy summers, but I actually will be back in time to like take a class with her and like see some old friends that I've danced with, you know. And usually we all kind of like try to pop back home for at least like one of the days to go back and visit and see our old neighborhoods and things like that. My family still lives there, so I'll get to see my family and everything, but it'll be nice to go back and dance around with everyone. So my shout out goes to her. She taught in Georgia. She's been there almost 10 years, but prior to that, she was in New York. I think she actually might have did a stint with the Rockets too, actually.
Nice.
Back in the day. She's a tiny little French lady that loves her ballet. And she's why I'm so crazy about, like, knowing terms, because her mom is French. Like, her mom,
yes,
like, born and raised in France, and so she is half French, half American. So, like, it was normal for her to speak these terms on a regular basis. So I'm very excited to go back and see all of them this summer.
That's exciting.
And I think that wraps it up. Yeah. Well, that's it. The curtain is closed in this episode, and we hope that you will join us next week.
And every week after that.
We want to say a special thank you to our listeners. Our numbers keep growing, and that is all thanks to you guys.
Episodes come out every Tuesday. You can find us on iTunes, Podbean, Blurberry, Stitcher, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Play Music.
Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe.
iTunes and Google Play Music are perfect places to do that.
You can find us on Facebook at Point Your Toes. We're also on Instagram and Twitter at PointPYT.
You can email us at pytnyc29@gmail.com.
I'm your co-host, Tony Williams II.
And I'm your co-host, Danielle Colangelo.
See you next week on Point Your Toes, the adventures of NYC Dance Teacher.